Welcome to the Banking Reinvented podcast. Every week, we discuss how banks can progressively modernize their customer journeys and model business operations around their customers. You're listening to Tim Rutten, and I'll be joined by Backbase CEO and founder Jouk Pleiter and other senior banking leaders from around the globe. Ready to unpack how to re-architect banking together? Let's get started. Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Banking Reinvented, where today I'm being joined by Chris Chayan. Chris, it's really good to see you again at the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me back. The podcast is on fire, many episodes, and I enjoy watching and listening to some other episodes as well. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, no worries. Good to hear. Good to hear. It's been a few weeks, maybe even more than a month that you were on the podcast, Chris. Ever since, what's been on your mind? This domain is, of course, fantastic. Chris, of course, is leading our AI efforts globally as our head of AI. What have you seen in the past period since the latest recording we did?
In the last recording, we talked about that AI is not that new for banking. We made the statement that AI is just now more accessible, and as a ratio of business investment, is also affordable. And I think we see now more and more adoption is happening. More and more use cases is being used and adopted, from very simple things to very complicated topics. Like just myself, I need to plan for every 6 weeks to come to Amsterdam. And I was like, I don't want to go to calendar, keep looking at what time, when, avoid Netherlands holidays, avoid Vietnam holidays, and I have my own kid, avoid being too away from him on the weekends. And I was like wondering, is there a way to automatically arrange this rather than I just have to look at calendar or some assistant help me? So there are many agents now out there that can help you actually to automate this. So I just use some of those agents for myself and build that plan very quickly. And nothing sophisticated. You can just use Gemini and one or two more agents for some of the airlines, and then you can actually arrange all of this yourself. To more complicated, more finance related, just recently I read this article from Stripe that to show the examples of basically how you can actually add payments into the LLM workflows and help the LLMs to do some function calling and agents, right, into your basically payments. Like you want to arrange a payment, so LLM can come in and help you to arrange the payments with that. So there are many actually progresses I see is happening on finance, and I'm glad that we made that statement, and it's becoming more and more true now that even in Backbase ourselves, we finished our first version of our conversational banking, which is available in our own internal showcase apps that any clients if interested, we can even show to them how you can actually do a conversational banking, say, hey, I want to transfer $100 to Tim, and then we can just take that and make it happen for you. Or you can even extend that to a word that, hey, why this offer is good offer for me? Can you explain benefits of this credit card versus another credit card? I feel like AI is becoming more and more away from a hype that is just everything can be sci-fi related kind of thing, to actually we see a start more valid use cases that we can actually use and solve some of existing problems, not futuristic problems, some of the today's problems.
Yeah. It's funny that you mentioned the Stripe example, because that's, at least in my understanding, over the past few weeks, the most concrete example of how in the financial services industry, you can now start leveraging agentic AI, which is, let's say, workflow-based AI with multiple agents that take care of multiple different functions based on potentially one prompt, right? So one prompt could be wire funds to Tim, indeed, which means there's multiple agents running to execute that complete order end to end. I think it's very, I don't know, it's like the wave is now becoming very real. The real use cases are coming out. There's the better language to speak about it. Agentic now being the main bucket under which we see a lot of groundswell. I think also the Salesforce statement helps quite a bit there. They're fully going for agentic AI clearly in the industry. So Chris, maybe on the note of Backbase, of course, we are doing our own innovations, but wider in the space, where do you see really solid applications already of agentic AI?
Let's go a little bit a step back, because I usually like to give examples. For example, if you're in a bank, right, 20 years ago, right, you hire a relationship manager. what do you do as a bank for your relationship manager, as a bank executive? You need to make an introduction of your bank to your RM. You need to make sure that your RM understand your customer segmentation strategy. You need to make sure your RM understand your products, the CVP of your products. You train your RM to understand how your RM should target and what to sell, what to offer to the next customers when their customers come to the branches. The word still is there. So the only change now that we are seeing is that RM can become an agent now. So you can actually have an RM agent, and you still need to do the same thing like a normal RM training that you do. You need to train your RM, hey, this is my bank, this is my segmentation strategy, this is my product, these are my product CVPs. And if a customer comes to you, make this kind of recommendation to the customers. Or if there is a situation like this, how would you make a recommendation to the customer? That's just pure example of agent. Obviously, technically, we have some constraints here and there that there are innovations that we can do to fix that. But agent, consider it as a design pattern of some repetitive tasks that can be smartly repeated and replaced. So we had this RPA before, so agents can actually go take the RPA to the next level because RPAs was more of automation only. This is adding the intelligence level, of course, artificial intelligence layer on top of that automation. This can be expanded to many scopes. As I said, again, there are technical constraints here and there, but there are innovations too that we can see that like a Stripe example is one of them, or just like what I use with Gemini just to arrange calendars to make sure that I'm not too much away from my kid, I'm not traveling to Amsterdam when there's Amsterdam public holiday, or I'm not traveling when it's Vietnam public holiday. These are like very basic things that you can actually use agents for it. But these also can move to the next levels too. Like if you start applying, like for example, domain-driven concepts. So when, like, for example, you might have onboarding microservices, you can actually start having onboarding agents too. And those onboarding agents can be what you see, for example, on apps like Revolut, like start asking a question. How can I, what do you expect from your bank? How can we make your off experience with banking better? That can be an agent. Start talking to you, collecting this information from you so that it goes back to talk to his other agent, which is RM agent, says, hey, this customer is interested in this. Now that you are my RM agent, now you know what my bank is focused on. What do you think we should design experience for this customer? So we can really go to, I think it's not that far that we can actually really deliver the empathic banking, like meaning designing experience, not segment-based, by individual, one by one, every customer base. I feel like we are not that far from there with LLMs and agents, and especially with these large action models that is enabled by agents.
So effectively, you're saying that we can almost agentify the complete banking operation at one moment in time.
I think so. Just again, there are technical constraints. We cannot do everything, but there are many, many. That's what I'm, my prediction would be, there will be, I think the concept of AGI will not be developed maybe necessarily by one company, but we will end up having many companies offering many agents. And what will happen is we will have orchestration of these agents. So in a banking service, for example, if you are doing, let's say you're doing credit card underwriting, you might actually end up having some agents of banking that you have built yourself to do some of the underwriting, but suddenly some of your agents, of course, with the governance that you have, might connect to another agent from another company, like, for example, Business IQ, and then start collecting some information there to make your underwriting faster and better. So we will end up having this a web of agents that will collaborating with each other massively, just like right now what we see with using tools like LangChain, LangGraph, or even Crew AI, you can actually start having this. You can combine different agents and get them to work together. And slowly you will, like even Devin, like has this thing that you can actually set up your own squad, one product owner, one front-end developers, one testers, so that this team can slowly work together to serve a specific goal that you have. It is possible, and we are getting there. I think that's the future. The question will be how fast, and for what use case we can do that. But as of now, we can already see some of these things is actually happening right now. And I do believe if you're a bank that you do have a microservice platform ready, it will be very easy. It's like a platform for you to go to the next step of agentic architecture.
Agentic architecture. Interesting. Maybe one thing to double click on, because if I hear you correctly, there's going to be a whole ecosystem of agents. They will all have a specific use case or purpose that they are designed for with the right technology and the right, let's say, intelligence that drives what the agent is going to be executing on. One step back, orchestrating all those agents. What does that look like? Is there already a consensus in the industry on how this orchestration should work? Or what's your view? What's your experience?
There are quite a number of experimental products, like OpenAI has Swamp, which is their own experimental AI agent orchestration. There are more established versions like LangGraph that is having this version of using graph theory and graph concept on how to orchestrate agents. And we can see clearly that Crew AI is another example of it. Like, for example, the article of Stripe that we talked about, they are using Crew AI and LangChain, which is quite interesting, like a similar tool chain that we are using in Backbus as well. So the direction seems like towards more and more these sides of having graph-based kind of models for the agent orchestrations. But there are also other options, and there are other theories and other ways as well. But most of them for now are more experimental. The more established and productionized products are very much into graph-based kind of agent orchestration.
Yeah, but conceptually, there is the need for orchestrating all of these agents, very similar to a microservices architecture, where you also need to orchestrate how the microservices together deliver a certain business outcome. But on the orchestration side of agents, it seems a bit less, how do you call this? It's less direct, if I may. It's more dynamic. It's more fluid. It has intelligence, so it has a different flow.
Exactly. So when you do previously like a microservice orchestration, you got to have the team architect, technical team, to set that up, the orchestration. And on this side, you do still need to do that, but it becomes less directive and descriptive. It's more into you define what is expected to happen and you let the agents to figure it out by itself. For example, like just my example is like, hey, I want to travel, make sure I don't land during the holidays of the Netherlands and make sure I don't fly during the holidays of Vietnam. That's it. I don't need to explain more than this. So the agent will understand what is a public holiday, looks at the calendar there, look at the calendar in Vietnam, try to arrange it. And it has to be every 6 weeks. But because it understands it, so it knows that I'm flexible enough to move the date. If it's not exactly 6 weeks, it's okay. But previously, you have to implement these things. If you do the microservice way, you have to implement all these logics. You have to define it, all the corner cases, test them, and do that. But with the agents, you don't need to define those anymore. You can just tell the agent, understand what is your purpose, what are you going to do, and has this LLM understanding so that when you ask, I want to do this, that LLM will understand that, hey, okay, so you are flexible on the days as long as it suits you with the requirements that you have. Then it will tell to his agent, hey, make sure that you handle this way. And the agent maybe even is using another microservice at some point, which most likely is, to do the confirm booking when the date is available or to do a lookup for the flight information. And that's how it is, right? So it's not really like microservice level. Hey, what's the rule? What's the rule engine? Oh, you should do this. You should do that. Here is a bit more flexible in the sense that how you set that up, but still you need to have a purpose. The purpose needs to be there on how these agents look up with each other, how they orchestrate itself to deliver that purpose. That's up to that agent. But I don't want to scare people. It's not like, are you totally out of control? You can still control. Remember that the guard railing is still is there. How you guard rail these agents, where you allow it. For example, if you are sensitive, you say, hey, I don't want all the agents to be available. You can whitelist agents. You can limit them. All guard railing is still there. It's not like it's going wild and you can do whatever. The agents do whatever they want and you have no control on it. You can control that. You can orchestrate that. You can manipulate the orchestration. You can influence the orchestration in whatever level that you want and whatever guard rail that you want. But But it's not more of like defining the rules for it. The rules is will be flexible and based on what needs to be done.
Yeah. Is it fair to say that it's deterministic versus non-deterministic?
I think that that's a correct statement.
Yeah. Because basically you're not fully clear what the outcome is going to be in the new agentic model with different agents interacting and taking certain decisions. Like it has flexibility to smartly interpret the actual ask or the expectation and orchestrate whatever the main agent needs to succeed in the actual ask that was brought to the agent. I think there, if I hear you correctly. Yeah, if I hear you correctly, then basically I'm hearing that with, let's say, the traditional architecture that we're all familiar with, microservices, we've already carved out all these different paths, all these different edge cases. They're hard baked into the architecture. Versus on top of this, you now have an automation layer that is not hard-baked, that is not fixed or static or deterministic. It's actually way more dynamic and intelligent and will pick the different pieces as needed to complete whatever ask is on the table.
Yeah, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. Just need to add this guardrailing in it so that when it becomes in sense of banking regulations, and that's the control that you will have on this as a guardrailing. You can guardrail the agents. You can say, no, these are the no-no areas. This is the parts that you have to respect. These are the things that you should not do. Don't go into PII area. Don't go to agents that is not in the whitelist. So you can guardrail it in a sense to control the regulations and manage the risk of your operational risk and how you what's your risk appetite on technology level and data level.
Yeah. This is one of the main discussion points we always have with our executive clients. They would love to do an embrace, but at the same time, there's either little or no regulation and or there's a risk appetite that they're not willing to digest. So clearly you're signaling, hey, in the technology frameworks, in where we are today, there's, of course, the concept of guardrails. You can limit certain behavior of the agent, but then again, it will never be as deterministic as the classic architectural patterns that we're all familiar with and feel confident with, right?
Exactly. Exactly. The thinking is needs to be a bit maybe shifted, right? Previously, you got to define all the rules so the microservice follow all the rules. Now the design pattern is not like you define the rules. It's about telling what needs to be achieved and what needs to be avoided. And you leave to the agent now to manage that. So it's a little bit of the shift of paradigm on how you design and build services and products. So it's not more of like, hey, I need to be very descriptive of everything. Anything outside my description should not happen, right? But here is like, no, you explain what you want and also define some rules of engagement for the agent. And the agent will follow that rules of engagement. But you cannot tell to the agent, for example, you must answer like this. That's not going to work for the agent. But if you tell to the agent, you are not supposed to call agents that is not into the whitelist, just a simple example, right? And the agent will not call them.
Yeah. Maybe a different way of looking at this, but I think the majority of us listening here in the audience are either managing a team of leaders or maybe even have direct line management responsibilities, or at least in your career, you certainly will have had that experience. It sounds like you're managing an individual employee almost. Like you give them the guardrails, you give them the principles by which to act. There are certain boundaries, ethics, let's say business strategies that you do want to execute on and collaborations you do or do not want to execute on. And you let the individual drive it. You basically give them the ownership. you really delegate it. You empower the individual employee. To me, it's like a crossover. It feels like you're empowering the agent to do whatever they feel is best to do, which is to a degree a black box. And you put the guardrails around it to, get it to execute.
I mean, totally. If you go back to that, what truly motivates people was the purpose, autonomy, and mastery. That's the three angles that what truly motivates people to build the ultimate employee engagement, like have a clear purpose for them, have autonomous for them in some levels of autonomous with the guardrails and everything, and have a mastery so that they can learn, they can improve themselves. And agents is almost the same thing, right? You need to say, what's your purpose and what you need to do, what you need to achieve, how much autonomy do you have, what's the level of autonomy that you have, and how much you can learn. Can you, because we have different type of agents too. We have machine learning agents, auto self-learning agents, you can also tell to the agent how much you can learn from your past experiences. You can also control that, which is the mastery. So I really like the example you said, and I never saw it that way, but it's completely true. Right? The purpose, mastery, and autonomy, it still applies here to the agent level too.
Yeah, funny, just came to my mind. But moving on, at a conceptual level, we now unpacked a few of the newer, let's say, leading edge concepts we really see coming to life. I think Stripe is one great example with the payments agent effectively that you can really integrate into your workflows with the different frameworks we discussed. Now, this is all great, and we're very much leaning forward now. That's also why I really like these conversations, Chris. You're really on the vibe of the market. Let's get back to reality, where we are today with our typical traditional banking institution or traditional leader that's running the bank and has all that responsibility. What is currently limiting that adoption as of late?
There are a couple of perspectives on that, barriers, if we call it as a for AI. I think the very first barrier would be shifting of the paradigm as well. So, for example, I think when microservices happened, I used this example that it was a zero moment, reset moment. I used to keep referring to the time, my colleagues, the time that when the microservice architecture came out, I was like, guys, it's a reset time. If we don't learn microservices, if we don't adopt microservices, it's just a matter of time that we cannot go to the next level. And I think AI is the same thing, especially with the new capabilities of LLMs and all this more and more accessibility of AI that is available, is a reset time. Maybe it's already past the reset time too. And that implies that banks and organizations, they need to quickly evolve and skill themselves and their employees with all the new learnings, because I do not believe that AI will replace human jobs. I have no such view. But I do believe people that they learn how to use AI to improve their productivity, those are the people that will replace the other guys. And that's what I believe. AI right now in every bank can become a co-pilot for every individual. And that's something that if you're doing everyday routine, you need to start questioning yourself. Hey, do I need to repeat this behavior again or not? Is there a new technology with this, my day-to-day routine work? Is there a technology or is there an AI service that can actually replace this day-to-day work that I'm doing or improve this day-to-day work that I'm doing, especially the boring parts, right? So that you can have more time for your own fun parts and creativity parts. Like, let's say if you are a product owner, do I really need to sit down and write all of my requirements now? Or I can actually use an LLM to help me to write the requirements now, and I just need to tune it. If I'm a quality assurance tester, do I need to write all the test cases manually, or I can actually use some tools outside to help me to generate these test cases? So in a banks, I do believe there is this barrier that they are looking at AI only as a perspective of, oh, this is a very futuristic product. This is very futuristic. It's not for today's problem. But actually, there are many tools, like I just said, that solves today's problem for your employees in the bank. And you need to unlock it for them so that they can actually improve the productivity and have a better performance for you. That's one perspective of it. And the other perspective is obviously the legacy systems and the challenges that you have in your architecture as a bank. So if you're a bank that you're still not on the cloud, cloud in the sense of public cloud, private cloud, right? Then you do have a challenge that you will be like basically very hard for you, right? How, I mean, it's possible, it's not impossible, but it's really, really like really difficult. And if you don't fill this gap faster, then the gap is just becoming bigger and bigger between your bank and a bank that is already on cloud. Because if you're a bank now, right now on cloud, for your problem right now is to define the business use case for AI. That's it. That's the challenge that you have. What's your business use case? But if you are not on the cloud, then you can't discuss too much about AI capabilities for your services. But moving on from cloud, there's another perspective. So if you come into customer orchestration, customer engagement, customer experience as a bigger umbrella, and technology is related to that, this is where I am a bit passionate about the topic of platform. And we keep talking about agent architecture, and we use microservice examples. So if you have a platform for your customer experience management or customer experience orchestrator, which is microservice driven, adopting an AI and agent architecture is just a very natural thing to do. Like for us to launch this conversational banking, we did not need to do any fine tuning. We didn't even need to build too much racks or all those complicated topics, autocorrect rack. We did not need to do many of those things. We just need to build some agents that understand how to collaborate with each other and understand how and when to call what microservice. So if you're a platform that can understand customer orchestration, experience orchestration very well, and is microservice driven, adopting AI and agentic architecture is just a natural next move without any doing, like, it's not like, oh, now I have to do my data training, data fine tuning. No, not really. You don't really need to do that anymore. Even for your employees, like, hey, I want to make sure my call centers answer the customers better, or my marketing to reply emails better to the customers. Those can be all easily managed by existing technologies out there. But the condition of it is you need to have a platform for your customer experience orchestration that is fully microservice driven based. Then it's a very natural move.
Yeah, it's actually a very hopeful message, Chris, if I may. In one of the keynotes that I also recently delivered, I believe it was in Copenhagen with MoneyLife, I basically made the statement that there's been three waves of major paradigm changes over the past few decades. The first wave was mobile, so we had to embrace mobile. Second wave, moving to the cloud. Third wave, AI. Now, if you're still working on the second wave, cloud not being there, then clearly you cannot embrace AI, to your very well outlaid point just now. But it also basically tells me once more, this is really a paradigm shift. And if you don't have your foundational architectural pieces in place, you shouldn't even entertain the AI conversation or leveraging agents or what have you. Now, bringing it back to reality on how to proceed from here, let's assume you do have a platform in place. I think with an agentic architecture on top of it, you can progressively, step by step, use case based, bring agents to life that get value out of your platform. I think that's a very nice way of getting an entry into getting value out of AI overall. On the platform side, also there are ways of progressively getting a platform in place, while potentially also dipping your toes into AI already, right, without waiting for another year or 2 years, which would be a combination of, indeed, a platform like Backbase or an architecture like the one of Backbase, which is an industry blueprint to a degree, where it's microservices-based, it is modular, it's fully open, it's API-led. And on top of that, if you indeed have the ambition to go faster with AI, the intelligence layer will essentially drive agents that will collaborate with the microservice to get certain outcomes. I think all the ingredients to me become a bit clearer of this conversation now, Chris. It's been very insightful. What is your final thing that you would like to share with the audience that you feel this gives you an aha moment? Whether that's a written thing, it's a video, whatever it might be that you have consumed over the past period that really showed you, whoa, and made you, let's say, shift your mindset?
Personally, because again, when I was responsible for banks, I always struggle with data. But recently, I've been thinking a lot because I implemented CDP, I implemented CRM, I implemented the employee engagement platform, customer engagement platform for banks. And I have to do marketing automations. When I was doing all these things, I figured out I'm keep repeating the same task again and again and again, which is I need to move the same data from here to here. I need to move the same data from this product to the next product. And that's already slowing me down a lot. Then even over the bank, I decided, and even recently, I thought about it a bit more, why customer engagement platform cannot become my central source for my data that I can use that for my machine learning and AI practices. That what I'm saying is a very good news for many banks, because if you haven't done your data lake house or data lake or all those complicated topics that usually takes easily 1 to 2 years, I don't think you're behind that far. As long as you have a good customer experience platform, which is microservices, composable, as we discussed, then all you need to do is start enabling AI and machine learning solutions and everything that you want to do on this platform. Because ultimately, we discuss about AI has to be business case, right? Otherwise, the cost of it make no sense, right? It has to be part of the business and return. And of course, if you put it on a customer experience platform, then as a banking platform or engagement banking platform, then there's a clear business case there. Because for whatever you do there as an AI or machine learning, there is a clear TOI, total operating income impact. Because either you're going to help your customer to use your banking app more, which is great for you as a bank, or you're going to help your customers to adopt more of your products, which is your product holding, or you're going to get them to use more of your products, which is you're going to win the primary bank relationship. And I do believe if you're a bank that you haven't done your whole data and you have this problem of my data quality is not good, I don't, haven't done my data architecture, I don't, haven't done my data lake, I think, but if you have this employee banking platform, customer banking platform ready there, you can start there. Because there is no data quality issue there. Customer logging into the app, he sees his product, he sees his transaction. If there was a quality issue there, you will not offer that to your customers. So you have those basic data. You know what are the product the customer has, what are the transaction has. You can actually leapfrog this whole process of using ML and AI to improve your TOI at least by 2 years if you have a good banking platform.
Full stop. If you have a good banking platform, an engagement banking platform, at least that level of architecture in place. Thanks for sharing, Chris. Trying to summarize the past 30 minutes, you said one thing which stood out to me. Empathetic banking, one-to-one, incredibly personalized. We spoke about this multiple times. We call them tailored value propositions, segment of one, which in the end means if I open up my application or my experience, it's going to be wildly different from yours, Chris, because the full experience is driven by potentially agentic AI, where it is informed by me as an individual, the type of products that I have, the type of questions that I ask, the guardrails that I set as an individual towards my agents, which drive eventually the experience on the total platform. You also mentioned that these agents that are now coming to life, they need to be orchestrated, right? How do you bring all these different agents? How do you bring these agents to life in such a way that you get the right outcomes, where these agents are effectively the intelligence layer on top of your banking platform? So they are literally picking and choosing the right capabilities to work with to get a certain outcome and to orchestrate all the different other agents that they might also tap into to get to a certain output, which is as expected, as desired. We also briefly talked about how these agents are practically employees, right? Because in a way, you need to define the purpose for the agent. You need to define the autonomy the agent has, the guardrails that the agent will need to adhere to. And at the end of the day, you do expect mastery, which are also the three things that drive employee happiness, to your own point earlier on. And last but not least, I feel the statement you made on if you have the foundational pieces in place, like an engagement banking platform, a nice microservices architecture where everything comes together and you orchestrate the end user and the employee experience, assuming you have that in place, there's a very large opportunity to go super fast in embracing AI, because that essentially is the layer that will leverage whatever you already have in place versus going for a large-scale data lakehouse program, which will take 1 or 2 years, as one of the examples you shared. Last but not least, upskilling. I hope this was a helpful podcast already to the audience, because upskilling means learning, seeing, believing, actually going through it yourself, like the example that Chris shared. He's basically doing his logistical planning with agents, which is a really cool example. I'm going to look into it myself as well, personally. But nevertheless, it basically means doing is believing to a degree, because also in a way it's wildly theoretical. There's graph theory, there's deterministic, non-deterministic, all these new concepts. I think once you really see them in real action, things start to click. That's why I was asking for the aha moment, Chris. Like, what's a wow moment where things just clicked? Now, hopefully with this episode, we made a bit of progress also with yourselves and those that are listening in. Nevertheless, we'll keep on going. We'll have Chris in the podcast many more times. It's been, again, very interesting and to me, a few aha moments, Chris. So thanks for joining and hoping to see you soon again in the podcast.
Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Most welcome. Thanks, Chris. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to Banking Reinvented, a podcast by Backbase. Make sure to follow both Jouk and myself on LinkedIn, where we will be sharing key insights about our journey towards modernizing banking.